The Rangers start their final home series of home stand of the season. We've got a special guest on here, Taylor Blake Ward, talk about the Angels right here on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today, coming late night, Monday night after a Cowboys win. Joined by a very special guest. But first, I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Really enjoy bringing the show to you. And this is the last homestand we got. And I've got a special guest, one of the specialists of guests who has been on the show before, old friend of the pod, former host of Locked On Angels, current Angels expert slash prospect slash draft slash just great person guru, Taylor Blake Ward. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I appreciate all that. I was jamming out during that intro. We didn't have that when I was with Locked On Angels. I dig that. The only issue is I thought this was Locked On New York Rangers. I thought we were talking hockey, so I don't know how much I'm going to help you out here.
Well, we're going to talk about a baseball team that allegedly you know something about. If you don't know something about them now, then you did know something at one point. And so, you know, we can work off the scraps, you know, either way.
It'll play.
But the Rangers head in. They have six more games. The Rangers are at 99 losses as we speak. By the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to this after the game has started, then they might be on their way to number 100. The Rangers actually haven't had a 100-loss season since their second season in Texas. I believe it was 1974. They had 200-loss seasons their first season here. Haven't had a 100-loss season since. So it's not been great for the Rangers. But, you know, as much fun as Shohei Ohtani has been, it seems like life hasn't been that great for the Angels either this season.
No, it really hasn't. It's been a tough year. This team wasn't built to lose Mike Trout for, you know, what was expected to be 2 months. Turned into pretty much they only had him for 2 months of the season. And that team, the Angels just weren't built for that. And then they lose Anthony Rendon over the course of the year. Lots of injuries, lots of kind of just tough things that are going on. And Shohei Ohtani has kind of been the only thing kind of keeping the Angels afloat. It's just been a real rough year for them. They're not going to break 500, most likely. I off the top of my head, I can't think of it, but
I think they're just past. Yeah, right now they're at 82 losses, so they.
Yeah, they're done. I mean, it's
eliminated with a winning record or from a.
Yeah,
winning record.
I think that's the first year since Billy Epler took over as general manager that they're not going to crack. Well, that's not true. They haven't cracked 500 in a while, but just, cracked within five games of 500, basically. Just a bad year in Anaheim. Really a bad year in Anaheim.
Yeah, this is rough. I didn't realize that Rendon had been out so long. Like, I knew he'd been out a while, but I'm seeing he's only played 58 games. I'm assuming he's not going to play any of these final six or however many games y'all have left.
Nope, no Trout, no Upton, no Bundy, no... No Rendon, you're tuning in to see Shohei Ohtani. That's about what you got.
You know, I mean, I've watched more than a sane person should watch Angels games, mainly just for Shohei Ohtani. I mean, good Lord, this guy has just been so good. I mean, he's only pitched in 130 innings, but like him being healthy, like that's what I wanted most, honestly, at the beginning of the season, because I knew the Rangers were going to be bad. Like I know that I saw the signs. I see the signs. It's probably going to be not great next year. At least we had Joey Gallo for the first half of this year. I don't even want to talk about it. But man, a healthy Shohei Ohtani season. We hadn't really seen it of him being fully healthy, pitching and hitting. Is this like? I mean, obviously, it surpasses like my wildest dreams. Did you have any expectation that he could come like close to this? Because I knew he was good, but like this is just absurd.
I think we've been waiting for this for a long time. It's when he came over to stateside from Japan, I did not think he'd hit. I didn't think he'd hit a lick. And obviously, I'm dead wrong on that. I'm happy to accept that I'm dead wrong. I mean, he's one of the best hitters in the league. Power, every metric has him at near the top as it comes to being a hitter. So I never expected him to hit. I actually thought he'd be a lot better of a pitcher.
Sorry, excuse you. He's not elite in batting average. And the Rangers play-by-play guy, CJ Nitkowski, honestly tried to make a point that he shouldn't win MVP because he's batting only 258. And I'm like, this guy has had some problematic takes.
It's the same thing as people saying Madison Bumgarner is a good hitter because he hits 200. I mean, realistically, I never thought that Shohei would hit, and obviously he's proven me wrong year after year, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But, you know, there was a lot of people that strongly doubted he could do both things. He could pitch for a full season and hit for a full season, and we're seeing it, and it's an anomaly. We haven't seen this in any of our lifetimes. I mean, you know, I don't think there aren't a lot of people on earth that got to see Babe Ruth play live as a two-way player. We have not seen this before, and it's absolutely remarkable. You know, MVP talk, that's for the voters. I don't see a way that Shohei doesn't win. But if people do vote for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., that's perfectly fine. That's their own opinion. But, you know, to do what Shohei has done this year, just being healthy and being able to prove that this is something that's possible just shows that the athletes that we have in this world, and especially in baseball, are so astonishing. You know, you think of athletes, you think of LeBron James, you think of Julio Jones and Dak Prescott, and, you know, I see the Dallas of Luka Doncic and guys like this, and maybe not Corey Perry, but Corey Perry, you know, screw it, whatever. You know, you think of guys like this and Ronaldo. Baseball players aren't often mentioned as these athletes that we think of with, you know, I always use LeBron James as the caveat because LeBron James is his speed is
the exception.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of them. I mean, there's incredible athletes all across baseball. But I always use LeBron James as, like, this super freak athlete. You know, strength, speed, precision, you know, just pure athleticism, ability. And it's like, we need to talk about Shohei Ohtani in this realm. I mean, the guy throws 100 miles per hour and he can hit 450, 500-foot home runs. There aren't people that can do this. You know, this is a once-ever kind of guy. And it's absolutely remarkable to see what he's done here in 2021. I hope it continues. I hope that we can find a way to have him be healthy for the rest of his career and he goes out and throws 200 innings sometime in the near future while also, you know, he's going to play 150-something games this year.
And, he's at 129 right now.
Yeah, and if he gets the rest of the season, you know, that's 155 games, right? I mean, there aren't guys that are playing 150 games in Major League Baseball anymore. So for him to do what he's doing, regardless of if most of those days are as a designated hitter, doesn't really matter to me. I mean, just it's absolutely remarkable what this guy is doing as an athlete, let alone as a baseball player.
Yeah, and also his speed really caught me off guard. I didn't think he was fast, and turns out he's really fast. He's got 24 stolen bases this year, and the only I will give one out for not voting for Shohei Ohtani for the AL MVP. That's only if you want to give him his own award. Just you're Shohei Ohtani. Like, no one is in your stratosphere. No one is in your universe. So, like, let's give the MVP to a mortal. But, like, you're so special. You're your own thing. Like, good for MVP.
At some point, it's going to become a thing where you can't. If he goes and struggles as a pitcher, he struggles as a hitter, but he's still doing both, you know, you still have to recognize that he's doing both and he's the most impressive player in baseball. But, you know, there are going to be in some period of time, whether that's next year or 10 years down the road, you can't just give Shohei Ohtani the award for being a pitcher and a hitter. You can't just do that. But when he's doing it at the level that he is, I mean, my goodness, you know, like I said, you know, batting average aside, and I like CJ. I love CJ Nitkowski. I think he's a good guy. But it's like batting average aside, this guy is an elite offensive player who's also an elite pitcher in the league. I mean, you take two top 10 players at both sides, both aspects of the ball, eliminate defense. I mean, I'm not going to bash Vlad Jr. on his defense, but it's not pretty. You know, it's like I'm not. You know, if you're going to award it to the offensive player of the year, it's a different deal. So give Vlad Jr. the silver slugger. But no, it's by my opinion, it's not close. And if he continues to do this for however long he does it, this is a guy that's going to continually be the best player in baseball. And obviously we've seen what Mike Trout has done for the last 10 years. And I think that there's not a lot of argument against Mike Trout being the best player in baseball, but now there is, and it's his teammate right there in Anaheim.
Yeah, he has definitely been one of a kind, an absolute blast to watch. But there's a lot of other Angels that I want to ask you about. But first, this word from our sponsors. Hey, Rangers fans, this is Bryce Patrick here with an incredible app for everyone who buys gas. They need to know about it. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code baseball and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back at GetUpside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code baseball to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive are making as much as $200 to $300 a month cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out at any time to your bank account, PayPal, an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app. Use promo code baseball to get up to 50 cents a gallon per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code baseball. Now, this Angels team, I showed faith in them this season. I'm pretty sure I picked them to be a wild card, at least contender. Obviously, no one could have predicted Mike Trout being out for the majority of the season. Anthony Rendon missing so much time. But some of these older guys, like Justin Upton, really showed some upside. He kind of fell off a little bit. But these young guys that I was expecting a lot from, that's my reason for having faith in this team. Guys like Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh. And, you know, so far they haven't really lived up to the hype. What has been the issue there? Do you have faith that their bats are going to bounce back? I mean, Brandon Marsh was never like a huge offensive potential guy, but like Joe Adell was a guy who seemed to hit it just about every level he was at. And this year, and I think last year a little bit too, he hasn't quite, you know, felt comfortable, or at least looked comfortable to my eye at the big league level.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment just basing on the numbers. Brandon Marsh came up, struggled for 2-3 weeks, and then really turned a corner and became a guy that you can plug in as a leadoff hitter on this club, not, you know, with Mike Trout on the lineup, with Anthony Rendon in the lineup. This guy has really transcended into becoming the player that he is, kind of going through late season struggles right now. But you look at the bulk of his season, you take away the early phase and the late phase, which you can't do, obviously. You know, these are numbers and it's a full season. But Brandon Marsh actually really impressed this Angels group. And he's definitely a guy that I think is going to be a part of this team for the foreseeable future, and kind of establish himself probably as a potential leadoff man who can I don't think Mike Trout is moving off center field. I think that's something that he's going to feel. I think when Mike Trout says he wants to play center field, that's going to happen. And I don't think that's a bash on Brandon Marsh by any means. But when Mike Trout does move off center field, Brandon Marsh has taken that position. And actually, his defensive metrics are remarkable. Joe Adell, now, when he came up last year in 2020, he was not ready. It was scary, overmatched. It was almost like a career hindering point that we were really concerned about Joe Adell. And then you remember he's 21 years old, 22 years old at this point. And Joe Adell, definitely the numbers aren't going to be fantastic, but you look, he cut his strikeout rate in half. He looked good in doing it. Everything this year was night and day from what it was last year at the major league level. Really established himself as an impact player, and I think it's going to continue to grow. He still has time to become that superstar that everyone wants him to be, you know, a top 25 player in the league kind of thing. But there was definitely signs of what he can do and what the player he's going to become. And we're talking about, you know, he made a swing change. He looks a little bit like Fernando Tatis. I don't think that's going to be an outcome, because what Fernando is doing, you know, that's something I'm not going to get into that conversation. I'm not going to say Joe and Fernando are the same conversation, but that's what you're kind of looking forward to, is a guy that's similar to a Fernando Tatis impact player. The defense was night and day different. I mean, he was so bad as a defender last year, so bad.
And I remember this year, he had that home run that landed off of his head. It happened twice last year.
And this year, just night and day. I mean, there was a game. There was a game he played. He single-handedly was the reason the Angels won. You know, offense, defense, the works. His arm was horrible, and now is back to being a. You know, this guy is showing the tools that really alter a game, and he's going to be an impact player. So the numbers probably aren't pretty. I can't tell you what they are off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me, and that's usually how I do these things. I can tell you Shohei has 45 home runs and a 3.18 ERA, but outside of that, the numbers may not look pretty, but I'll tell you, the growth of both of these guys, they're going to be impact players for the Angels coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of young talent there. And I want to get into a little bit of the Rangers young talent, just mainly just one specific guy that I know you've had eyes on. But first, this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. The Cowboys are 2-1. So if you want to bet on the Cowboys, betonline.ag is your number one spot for pro and college football action this season. With new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sports books. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you endure often pointless, seemingly intimidating questioning about is your car an LX, an EX, whatever, wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com in your home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why do you spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? They're a family business serving auto parts customers, do-it-yourselfers for 20 years. Their prices are reliably low, the same for every single customer. So go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Now, I think as soon as I said a guy we talked about before, you already knew who I was going to ask you about. You know what? I'm sorry, Jack Leiter. I'm sorry to this man. I haven't seen him yet. He hasn't pitched yet. So this man is still my favorite pitching prospect in the Ranger system. That is a man named Cole Wynn. You have been a draft expert of the California AI for quite some time. Cole Wynn is a guy who you saw, I believe, quite a bit in high school. Now he has got his promotion to AAA last week. He dominated AA this year. He is still 21 years old. Good Lord. He still only has two professional seasons. Only two professional seasons. Like, it blows my mind. I feel like I've been talking about this guy forever. I got to see him live in person this year for the first time. And man, I really like this kid's stuff. He's only pitched one outing in Round Rock. We're not going to talk about those numbers. They're not pretty. He did strike out four in three innings of work. But also, it wasn't pretty outside of that. But what is it that you saw in this guy when you were scouting him? Are you surprised that he's jumped this far, this fast? Like I said, he only pitched his only a professional season outside of the, whatever was going on last year. He pitched in Hickory, 18 games, just under 69 innings in 2019. Other than that, that's his only pro experience. And this is a guy who, you know, from all the reports, had very advanced stuff. The Rangers were happy that he fell to them all the way at, 15 back in 2018. But does any of that stuff surprise you of what I'm saying, that he has progressed this quickly?
I saw Cole Wynn probably more than I've seen any amateur player in my life. I think I saw Cole Wynn about 7-8 times his draft year. Just advanced. I mean, this was a pro-ready arm and probably the second most pro-ready high school pitcher I've ever seen.
Who was number one? Just curious.
Honestly, it was Gage Jump this year, who's heading to UCLA. And I know that Cole Wynn has a lot more upside than Gage Jump does. It's just Gage Jump was ready. You could have put him in high A this year. I think he would have competed. Just that's how it's just that level of advancement is what kind of more what I'm meaning by pro ready. But Cole Wynn was so pro ready. I think they had an aggressive assignment. I think you noted he pitched in Hickory the year after his draft, which is low A. And just a guy that knows what he's doing on the mound. And as soon as you said, you know who I'm talking about, I pulled up his numbers. I knew he did well this year, but I just pulled this up. 38 hits in 78 innings. 38 hits allowed is just absurd. I mean, that's unhittable. In double A. I mean, double A right now sucks. The hitters are awful. They did not adjust well post-COVID. That's something that has to be taken with a grain of salt, but 38 hits and 70-something innings? I mean, my gosh. Like, that's
to be fair, the time that I saw him, it was against Corpus Christi, who is absolutely terrible this year.
Yeah,
but he put up these numbers against, like, other teams. Like, I think, is it Kansas City's affiliate there? There's some team there that's, like, loaded with talent. I think – I want to say it's Kansas City, but don't hold me to it. But there's a couple of teams that, like, there's some real legit prospects there that he was making look foolish. And something that you can't really see in his numbers, but I saw live – you know, his curveball was his big pitch coming out of the draft. He barely used it. He barely used it at all. And the slider and the changeup, like, they might end up being better pitches. I think that slider might end up being a better pitch than the curveball.
The changeup was always the one for me. The changeup was always the one for me, which he's a righty, so obviously it's going to compete well against lefties. But his ability to throw it in on righties and that righty-righty changeup in is one of the best pitches in baseball. So if he can continue to do that, he's going to have success, but I don't care. Look, double A hitters this year are really crappy. It's kind of well known in the circles. You talk to scouts and they're all like, this is a joke, but to do the performance that's there, I mean, just looking at that, that's absurd. That's nuts. I'm blown away, but yeah, I've heard the slider has improved. The curveball was a good pitch, but yeah, this is a guy that has a chance at four average pitches or better. I mean, I think that changeup has a plus potential. Like that slider has plus potential. His fastball's got plenty of velocity. It's more than enough to make it work. This guy has a command to do it. It's harnessing that command to be able to compete against major league pitchers. So it's like, is he going to be up next year? Probably at some point he might be, you know, there's a chance. I'm talking more July.
Yeah, he can, I mean, he can be, but I don't know. I've talked about this a lot and like the Rangers are going to be bad next year. They're going to be real bad. And like, we've seen how like certain pitchers like AJ Lexi comes to mind. AJ Lexi absolutely dominated. He had an even better year at double A than Cole Wynn did. And he basically repeated those exact numbers in AAA. Then he comes up to the big leagues, has an amazing first start, I think, against the Angels, the six innings. I mean, the walks were obviously a problem then. Then has basically gotten hit quite a bit in pretty much every start since, except for against the Yankees, he had a solid start there. But, like, there's not really a need to rush him. He's still going to be 22 next year. I think AJ Lex is going to spend almost all of 2022 in AAA. But, like you're saying, I think he could come up.
Yeah, it's more of when he masters each level, right? Obviously, double A, he didn't need to be there. And triple A, you know, you look at the Pacific Coast League or triple A West, whatever the stupid crap it is. It's, but I mean, like, dude, this guy could have a 5 ERA and he's pitching fine. That's the problem with those triple A numbers is I think the league average and the league average ERA in triple A is like 5.5, 5.6, something like that. So it's like, this guy has a 4 or 5 ERA in AAA. He's actually performing above league average. So you kind of just toss those numbers out. But when you realize that he's mastering a league and these kind of things come, you can't just hold him back. You got to let this kid blossom. And maybe July next year, he's just dominating AAA and he just needs to get to the majors. And you're not worried about that service clock because it's July. I think Cole Wynn, you know, this is a guy that's going to be – I don't think he's going to get Cy Young votes, but this is a guy that's going to be a workhorse for you. He's going to do the dirty work in the middle of those, you know, middle of your rotation. And you, depending on what the Rangers do, free agency, things like this, they have a guy that they know they can trust every fifth day for the next 5 years, starting whenever he comes up. So when he harnesses that command, that's going to be the biggest thing for him, is just making sure that he can throw strikes. That's not a problem. It's how challenging are those strikes? Are those competitive strikes? And being consistent with that. You look at his hits allowed. Those are 38 hits is what we said, but he allowed 6 home runs. I mean, that's not a wide margin, but, you know, those are mistake pitches. I doubt that those 6 home runs, all 6 of them were, you know, he got beat. Like, I think probably a few of those are mistakes, and it's limiting those mistakes and finding himself as a major league pitcher, especially in Texas. You know, he's going to have to go to Oakland. He's going to have to go to Houston. You know, these are tough parks to pitch in. And when he gets there, can you compete, throw strikes and beat guys? You know, can you trust your slider to start middle and cut away from a righty, you know, break away from a righty and trust that it's going to locate right, as opposed to, you know, I'm going to try and sell this thing inside and it's going to break in the heart of the plate and Matt Chapman's going to put it 500 feet into the bleachers, you know. But realistically, this kid knows what he's doing on the mound. He's so advanced. He's so young. This is a guy that the Rangers can really be excited about. And I'm not going to throw the word ace out, because that's such an unfair term. There's only like 5 or 6 aces across all of baseball. But could this guy be your true number 2? Absolutely. I think he's fantastic. And I've been a big Cole Winn fan for a long time. Like you said, he fell to 15. I thought he could have gone top 10 in that draft. And I think we're starting to see that it would have been smart if he would have gone in that top 10. And when he becomes a major leaguer, we're going to, you know, there's going to be 5 teams looking at themselves saying we probably should have taken a deeper look at this kid.
Yeah, they absolutely should. The Rangers have quite a few guys in their rotation that are pretty young. Like you said, it's really valuable to have a guy who you can trust every fifth day. Dane Dunning is that. Taylor Hearn might be becoming that. But there's one more guy. I don't know if you've gotten eyes on him. He's a little bit older. But I did see that he did. I know he went to college in California. I'm not sure where he went to high school. I'm trying to see this, but a newly acquired Ranger, Spencer Howard, went to Cal Poly State. Yeah,
he's Cal Poly. I've tracked him a little bit. I followed his career because, especially over the last season, there was a kid that was pitching at Texas, University of Texas, by Ty Madden was his name.
Oh yeah,
and that was the comparison that I got for Spencer Howard. And I think it's very fair. I think the Spencer Howard is – there's going to be questions continually about his command and whether he can be a reliever or a starter. I think that there's a good chance he's going to stay a starter, especially in an organization like Texas that needs starters right now. But that's a good thing. If you can get this guy developing at that stage and getting the reset button from Philly, who – Philly has struggled developmental-wise. I think it's, you know, a little bit well known that they've struggled a little bit with some of their development. So if this guy gets a new, you know, reset button on his career at a pretty young phase, I would imagine, based on my memory, he's what, 24, 25-ish?
Let me double check that.
But, ish, roughly. 20,
yeah, he turned 25 the end of July.
I would say Cal Poly, he was like 3-4 years ago drafted, something like that. But either way, you know.
He was very happy in his opening press conference about, like, you could tell that, like, yeah, he needed a fresh start because, like, that Philly didn't have time to, like, figure out, is this guy a starter? Is this guy
very talented.
I got good news for you about his last start out. I mean, because the big question was, like, can he maintain his velocity? Like, that was some of the intel coming over there. And he threw 66 pitches. His last one, he's been going about, like, 2 to 3 innings. He went 4 innings in his last one. Struck out 4, and his third to last pitch, so his 63rd pitch of the day was, I believe, it was over 95 miles an hour. So I'm like, that was encouraging stuff. I mean, granted, the Orioles got to him for 4 runs, which, you know, that's not a great sentence to hear. But I mean, for him at this point, it's literally all about, can you stretch him out? Can you go 6 innings?
Just go out and compete. And when you tell a kid that, you know, look, we're not going to worry about your box score this week because, you know, you're going out and working on whatever it is. And you don't want to develop at the major league level, but when you have a new face and a new player coming into the organization, you have a strong idea of what he has, but you still are identifying what you want to do with him, you know, maybe he's throwing something that he hasn't thrown overly, you know, maybe he's throwing a slider X amount percent of the time more or something like this. But no, Spencer Howard, I might have lost you there. There you are. Yeah, that's fine. Hey, you look good as Taylor Blake Ward. I don't know if you want to switch it, but either way, you know, Spencer Howard, from all the reports I remember from, I mean, seeing him in college, it was kind of more back end reliever kind of thing. I know that development wise, he did well, kind of staying as a starter a little bit. Like you said, it's more how long can he sustain the startability. And based on the reports off the top of my mind, I'm thinking this is a back end rotation guy, but another guy that you can trust to go compete every fifth day, which is, you know, you really want a starter. Starting pitchers are hard to acquire, you know, whether it be developmental wise or via free agency. There's a reason that these guys make so much money, and it's because there aren't a lot of them that do things as well as others. So, yeah, Spencer Howard, definitely a guy that I would monitor if I'm a Rangers fan or Rangers brass. This is a guy that could have some upside to you and be a major league starter, which is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I love about him is, like, his off-speed stuff all looks pretty solid to me. He just doesn't throw it enough for me. Like, he's relying 63% on his four-seamer, which, like, his four-seamer is fine. Like, the velo's good. The, you know, spin rate isn't super great. Some of the other stuff, like, I think the slider's really solid. The changeup, I like. The curveball as well. I just wish he would throw it a little bit more often. I think the Rangers will get that ironed out because, I mean, they've done a good job of, you know, turning around some of these guys that are a little bit on in their career. He's a little bit younger than the ones they've done it with, but like a Lance Lynn, like a Kyle Gibson, like a Mike Minor as well. And I think, I'm hoping, I don't know how sure I am about this, but I'm hoping that some of those principles can be applied to this guy. Because, you know, for a team that has sucked really badly at developing starting pitching, they got quite a few starting pitchers in their system that are about to start getting their way to the big leagues, and definitely an exciting future for this team and an exciting future for the Angels. Any future with Shohei Ohtani is going to be a lot of fun, and he's still only 26 years old and he's already just doing historic, amazing things. Very jealous that he's not on my team. I wanted him very badly at the time. Now I want him even more badly, but you know, if I can't have him, I'm glad at least you do.
I'll take it. Yeah, it's, you know, obviously when you report and you're a journalist in the sport, you don't always cover the team that you grew up cheering for. And that is the case, you know, for me is I didn't grow up an Angels fan. I grew up just a baseball fan in Southern California, and the Angels were part of that. So they were kind of like my first, second, third team kind of thing. But as a baseball fan, Shohei Ohtani, my goodness, you know, it wouldn't matter if he was on the Rangers or the Yankees or, you know, the Miami Marlins, whoever cares, you know, this guy is remarkable. And what we're seeing, it can't be replicated. I mean, that's something I hope does occur, is I hope that we do have kids that realize that this is something you can do. You have to be a freak of an athlete, and you got to be a freak of a baseball player, but you know, there is someone doing it. This is something that you can do as a kid and try and pursue. So I think he's such a great asset to the game. He's marketable. They need to do a better job of marketing him. Same could be said for about 90% of the league. You know, I don't think we talk about Fernando Tatis enough. I don't think we talk about Mookie Betts enough or Mike Trout or Joey Gallo, whoever, you know, Cole Wynn.
We don't need to talk about Joey Gallo right now. He hurt my feelings. It's not his fault.
He's a good cat. You got to like him still.
He's doing well. Actively rooting for him, but not the Yankees. It's a weird line to toe, but I feel like I'm doing a decent job.
But either way, you know, it's remarkable. And Shohei Ohtani is very important to the game. So it's fun to see him on a nightly basis right now and to document this. Something I've told people is there's never been a player more documented in the history of baseball than Shohei Ohtani, yet we have no idea what his personal life is like. And I absolutely love that.
Maybe he'll fall in love with the weather like Mike Trout did.
But, not that man, Texas weather though.
Oh gosh, no one falls in love with that. But listen, Taylor, where can the fine listeners or watchers on YouTube find you and your work?
Yeah, if you guys want to follow me, it's at Taylor Blake Ward. I believe it's on the screen right there, and I have a website, homeplateview.com. Check us out, and thanks for having me on, Bryce. It's always fun talking to you, buddy.
Always a blast. Thank you so much for your insight and for giving me some more hope on Colwyn, which I didn't think that could have, but you know, God bless you. You gave it to me anyway.